in honor of Brother C.M. Butler, who to me and many others was the Prince of Pastors, for he pastored the Holy Church of God in Savannah, Georgia for 53 years. His full name was Corbin Marion Butler. This is significant, for Corbin means a gift which is given to God. And if any man was ever given to God in full service, it was Brother C.M. Butler. Butler signifies a highly trusted servant of immense value to his master. One who would, in the olden days, test the drink before the master drank, and was willing to give his life to spare the life of the master. And if anyone was willing to give his life wholly to his master, it was Brother Butler. In fact, shortly after his call to preach, so great was his zeal that he went all out, which would characterize his more than 50 years of fruitful labors for the Lord. His dear wife, Sister Edna Butler, felt he was overzealous and protested. Nevertheless, he continued straightforward. While he was gone to a service one night, the Lord spoke to her and said, "If I can't have him, neither can you." After this warning, she cried out a yes to God, and through the many years of his ministry, she was his faithful stay and loving wife. And she just recently expired and went on to her reward. And may God bless them through the eternities to walk together forever. I first heard of Brother Butler and his work in Savannah, Georgia, through Brother G.W. Birdsong. And shortly after this, Brother Earl Allen and I met Brother Butler at the Gilbertown, Alabama camp meeting in 1956. One night, Brother Birdsong, the night evangelist, yielded the pulpit to Brother Butler. His command of the scriptures and his way of presenting his thought to the people was outstanding. In fact, he was a scripturalist. By that, I mean that he had such a command of the scriptures that he could refer you from scripture to scripture, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, with amazing ability. This lets one know that he was a man of the Bible. In fact, I never knew Brother Butler to have many books. He may have had an encyclopedia and a dictionary, maybe a Bible dictionary, two or three books, but he was a man of the book, the King James Version of the Bible. And I'm not saying that to condemn those that love books. Brother Butler was well-read, well-versed, and was on top of current events, but he was a man of the Bible, the book of God. While at the Gilbertown camp meeting in 56, we also met Brother T.C. and Brother Columbus Long, and Brother Jack Corley, Brother Homer Duck, Brother Ben Shaw, and Brother Hal Glisson, longtime deacon and great and prayer warrior of the Savannah Church. Brother Butler had a lovely personality. When he greeted you, you felt a magnetism drawing you to this kind Christian man, and you sensed you were in the presence of a very special person. In fact, his charisma was such that though you might be surrounded by a crowd of people, he directed his attention to you in such a way that you felt the power of his attention was solely centered in yourself. All of his actions was done in an aura of Christ-like humility. His demeanor was that of a handsome, very neatly dressed Christian gentleman of the highest and noblest character. He was a born leader, a prince among real men, chosen of God and called. His day generally began around 6:30 in the morning and ended at 12 midnight. He began with prayer and Bible reading, breakfast and family counseling. And I might say that Sister Butler worked hand in glove with Brother Butler, and the children were very polite and very quiet as their father would devote himself to prayer and supplication of the Lord for the many needs that he was presented with. I remember how the children, if Brother Butler wasn't handy to have family devotion with them before bedtime, Sister Butler would. And I remember how the children would come to their father and would caress him, even Marion, when he was a fine young teenage boy and nice, handsome young child. All of the children were fine, handsome children. He would come and show affection to his father and his father to him. Bless their hearts. Well, after breakfast and family counseling and some hospital visits, he would go on to the church where he would give in prayer requests to the faithful prayer band led by some good sister of the church. And then the Monday through Friday morning radio broadcast, perhaps some more pastoral counseling, perhaps some sick visits in homes or the nursing home or some more hospital visits, and then lunch, perhaps a short time of rest interspersed with phone calls or perhaps a funeral, then back to church for prayer and Bible study, sometimes choir practice, either with the youth or the adults. Brother Butler was a very talented musician, able to play several instruments. And then regular church service, or often revival services, with some visiting minister. And on other nights, he was generally in church services at one of the neighboring churches, some of which he played a major role in founding. Also, I need to mention the fact that in some of the years that I'm speaking of, they had a school for their children, kindergarten through high school, and this certainly was found Brother Butler very much involved. And sometimes he would hold services at some out-of-state church. He first came to us in the fall of 1956. We visited back and forth for approximately 43 years. His ministry and music and preaching was such a blessing. His insight into human nature and his discernment was so marvelous. His reproof was with all long-suffering and doctrine, 2 Timothy 4 and 2. He spoke with authority. You wanted to be at your best around Brother Butler. A visit then and even now will find the Savannah Church a most congenial people. And I believe that Brother Butler's outgoing personality and friendliness contributed to the atmosphere of his congregation. He, along with the deacons, with the general approval of the congregation, governed the Savannah Church for many years. Brother Butler, as pastor, would oversee the needs in matters of ethics and discipline and would consult with the deacons if necessary in such matters. Also, himself and the deacons would oversee the general affairs of the church, and if congregational approval was needed, he would present such to the whole church. Several building programs of vast importance took place over the years. I can remember when we first came in 1956 to Savannah on West 49th Street. The church faced the street, and I don't remember any wing on the right hand or on the left. They did have a balcony, and to the left, to the north of the church, there was a little long shotgun-type house that served as Sunday school rooms and restrooms for that part of the facilities. And through the years, they built a wing on the left, they built a wing on the right. The church kept growing, and then they built the magnificent sanctuary that was later burned by an arson. May God have pity on the soul of the one that performed this dastardly deed. May they repent. May they repent. May they repent before it be eternally too late. Well, to my knowledge, there was never any nominating or voting done in all of these years in any of these matters. It was and is a healthy church, sometimes numbering in the hundreds in attendance. A free spirit pervades among them. In his last years, serious problems developed, which saw Brother Butler rethinking his position as an overseer of the fellowship they were officially affiliated with. In his last sickness and death, Brother William Addis served as associate, and then after his death, as the interim pastor. The Lord gave Brother and Sister Addis special favor with the church. The church is no longer officially affiliated with any organization, but is a thriving church under the pastorate of Brother Rhines Royston, whom Brother Addis recommended. And may God bless this young man who manifests a spirit far beyond his years of maturity. May God ever use him as the pastor of the Savannah Holy Church of God. It is so wonderful to realize that under his present ministry, the church continues to go forward. And I'm sure that if Brother Butler could speak, he would be so happy, and he would commend this young man for his efforts, and the deacons for their efforts, and the congregation for standing with the pastor and with the deacons. Brother Butler traveled thousands of miles. I remember once he was having hip trouble, and to his surprise, he found that his billfold, in the many miles that he would travel in his vehicle, the billfold had rubbed against his hip. And he got to where he changed it to his front pocket to alleviate the pain. Brother Butler was a brave man. Brother Butler was a constant man. Brother Butler was a man with a driving force, moved by God's Spirit. He was a man of much prayer. He was a man of much supplication. He took sincerely the burdens of others upon himself. And he was a man that would often support preachers and support poor folks and support missionaries and take money out of his own pocket to do so. Well, he preached thousands of sermons. God only knows how many were saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost after the Bible order of Acts 2:4, 10:46, and 19:6, reclaimed, encouraged. God only knows. He preached thousands of funerals, some of them out of state. Well, he had a sectional as well as an international radio ministry for years. He went on several foreign missionary journeys. I can remember hearing of some of his trips to Cuba with Brother Sixto M. Lopez, to Mexico with Sister Mars, and to the Holy Land. Well, his life was indeed a blessing to many thousands. I spoke to him a few days before he passed away by phone. Lawrence was there, and he was glad that I'd made the call, and he passed the phone on to his father. Brother Butler's last words to me were, "If I never see you again in this world, I will see you in that beautiful morning of the first resurrection. By the grace of God, I mean to walk in truth and holiness and keep that appointment." God bless all that may hear this recording. I'm Brother Richard Crane, and this is the month of August 2000.